Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, our fourth live event is a week from this Saturday.
It's around the corner.
It's around the corner, right. Around the bend, just around the river bend.
Oh, you know who said that? Pocahontas. I love when you put in a Disney reference and I'm not sure you even know you're doing it.
Don't you love that? Listen, I am so excited.
I know.
We're going to have a room full of some of our favorite people. We're going to have just such a good time at the Nest here in Worcester, Ohio. We're going to record a live podcast with some of our listening family.
It's always so fun.
It's so fun.
We have been collecting things from some of our favorite businesses to give away as gifts. So that's fun because it's like a touch point with some of our favorite brands like Cozy Earth. Yes. Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, Koblenz Chocolate, Beefeal, all those places.
Yes.
And it's also when we look at the guest list, what's one of my personal favorite things is when we look at people that have bought tickets and the name reminds me or is close to maybe an Instagram name of someone that we've talked to for a while or someone that's left a review. I'm like, oh my gosh, we get to meet this person that has supported us for a long time.
Let's go ahead and tell who won the two tickets. We don't know their full names, but we know we know her first name.
I don't remember.
You don't?
No.
It's Renee. She's going to bring, she said basically she wants to bring her best friend. I don't know. I'll get a hold of them on Instagram, but it was someone who said we would die if we were picked.
Yeah.
And I want to bring my best friend. And I know one of them's name's Renee.
Yeah.
So if that's you, I'm going to be DMing you on Instagram. But we gave two tickets away, and that was fun.
Yes.
It was fun to hear about who people would bring who they would give things to.
And, you know,
the
live events are such a fun time of connection because you get to do something fun and go out with someone, like if you go with a friend. But it's also fun because there is so much energy in the room because it's one of those experiences that people that are coming want to be there. And so it's really fun. Plus, we have incredible charcuterie eats from Walnut Creek Cheese and Market.
Frothy coffee.
And this live event, something we've never done before, is we're going to do a little throw to bring maple or don't come at all. So
just
get ready.
Yes. Also, we are already putting together our subject and talking about our subject line and researching, and our subject is probably one of the most requested subjects that we would dive into or do.
Yeah.
And it really is, besides like family challenges, family dysfunction, family relationships, we get that one a lot.
We do.
This one is one of those that is a tender subject too. Mm-hmm. It's a fun subject, but it also can be a tough subject, and I don't think people talk about it enough.
I know.
So we're going to talk about it.
We are so excited.
Yes.
If you haven't gotten tickets yet and you're like, oh, I'm kind of on the fence, I really want to go, we really would love to see you there. And also for our VIP tickets, there are some left. We have special gifts and preferential seating for the VIP ticket people.
Yes,
so those are going fast as well.
Yes.
So there's a few left. Snag them up. And we would love to, I was going to say wring your neck. Not that. Hug your neck at our live event because it's so fun.
But what's your good day?
My good day is this past weekend, our friends Disney Danielle and Just Maggie and Maggie's husband Matt and their kids came into town, and it was awesome. I don't know if you have a friend like this, but I haven't talked about Matt much on the podcast. Yes, we've talked about Danielle. We've talked about Maggie. They're Mallory's college girlfriends, but Matt is the husband of Maggie.
Okay.
And Matt, I love Matt. I've diagnosed him as an Enneagram 7.
Okay.
You're not really supposed to tell people what their numbers are, but I've kind of claimed that for him. One of my favorite things about Matt is Matt will get highly invested and highly interested into different topics or hobbies. I think I'm noticing in my old age, I'm surrounding myself with curious people who love to learn the world.
All right.
Matt's the kind of guy where Maggie will like fall asleep and she'll wake up and he's watching an open heart surgery on YouTube. He's like the science behind a racquetball.
Okay.
Or how to make the best flies for fly fishing. He gets into hobbies. He's been a fly fisherman.
Okay.
He's gotten into biking. He's gotten into sous vide cooking. He's a very good cook. And right now we're in a new era that I'm very excited about because it benefits the friend group.
It's Disney.
It's not Disney.
Oh.
Matt's new hobby is artisan pizza making.
Okay.
And so Matt lives in Columbus. They live about an hour and 20 minutes away from us. Matt packed up his little pizza oven and made dough. He brought it in this proofing container and made artisan pizzas for us that were just delicious.
Why don't we call him Hobby Matt?
Hobby Matt.
Hobby Matt.
I love it. Yeah. Hobby Matt.
Hobby Matt.
So Hobby Matt made some really good food.
I
you know what
it.
Hobby Matt did a couple years ago?
What did he do?
He made us turkey in sous vide. Are you familiar with sous vide cooking?
Nope.
Sous vide.
Oh, yes, in the water bag.
Yes.
Water.
Sous vide cooking is where you put things in air-sealed bags.
Yes.
You immerse them in water with a little, like, engine.
It holds the moisture in.
And then he made us a whole turkey breast for Thanksgiving and then like seared it over a real fire.
Yes,
and it was the best turkey I've ever had. So that was our weekend with Hobby Matt and his artisan pizza oven that, you know, sometimes you just benefit when the friend has a hobby.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So there you go. Tell
and
me
listen,
about your
the fly fishing didn't benefit you.
No.
No.
He was just he was just flying and wading.
Okay.
Flying and wading.
Recently, this last weekend actually, we had our breakfast club.
Breakfast club.
Breakfast club. If you are listening, go ahead and ring the bell for them. Okay, 10 years ago I put on Facebook, made a breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, that's right.
Egg sandwich, I said something about the egg sandwich, and one of them popped in the comments and said, when can I be invited over to have one?
Right.
I said Friday morning. Two more people popped in, and that's Breakfast Club.
That's how it started.
That's how it started about
so here's,
over 10 years ago.
Here's the lesson in that. Don't not reach out to people.
Yes.
Like, reach out. Make the ask.
Yes.
Say, make me a sandwich.
Yes. If there's somebody that you're like, I would love to spend time with them, ask.
Do it.
Don't ask me, because I'm probably going to say no. I'm
Right. You're just like so busy with friends. You have enough friends.
You know, I don't.
I'd love to squeak a breakfast sandwich out of you every now and then. And I don't get breakfast sandwiches anymore.
You know, I'm good at saying no. You've called me out on it. I am.
Well, you don't do what you don't want to do. She's like, no, no more sandwiches.
Never getting away from that one.
I know. That's classic Leanne. Maybe that's my New Year's resolution is be more like Leanne. That's going to be our first episode.
Okay. So we got together and, you know, we were sitting around talking about this. We were talking about the fact that we loved that we were sitting around talking. Like
that's very meta.
Yeah. Wilma brought Hershberger cream sticks.
Yeah.
Maple cream sticks.
Maple, don't come at all.
Bring maple or don't come at all.
That's right.
She brought maple cream sticks and we sat and had delicious coffee. We got together at Missy, at Junk Bay, Missy Herrera's house. And we sat and talked for at least 2.5 hours. We kind of do like a little bit of a round robin.
Yeah, I love that.
We kind of go around like, and everybody kind of gives an update. And here's what I'll say, and this is what we talked about, is that we are a group of women, there are four of us, that we can vent or we can hash it out. And we can say what's maybe bothering us or frustrating us or what's upsetting us. But it always turns around, it always ends with, what can we do? What can we do to handle this better? What can we do to be better? What can we do to turn the ship around?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can we learn from this? We never end someone sharing, especially if they're venting about something, with it just being about venting.
Right.
And I love that.
I think that's a sign of maturity. You know, I think to have friends that you just vent to that are like, you're right, that person's such a jerk, rah, rah, rah. It feels good in the moment, but I don't think it's good long-term health.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it is. I think it just, you know, perpetuates maybe a negative or critical heart.
Yeah.
That's just not healthy.
And it's always why I feel, I've determined this, it's always why I feel good after I leave being around them.
Right.
Because we can talk about things that are difficult or things that are challenging us.
Right.
But it always ends with, what if you try this? What if you do this? Look at it, or look at it this way.
Well, you do have a clinical counselor from our cluster in your breakfast club.
Yeah,
and Wilma offers great advice.
Oh, she does.
Yeah.
She does. I said to her again when we met, and you know I say this about her, and you say it about her too. Wilma is the kind of friend that you could tell her the worst thing about you. Like, you could tell her something that you did that was terrible.
Right.
And she would say, okay, what are we going to do about it? Let's talk about how we can get through this and how can we navigate you through this that you're going to end up on the other side and you're going to end up better. And those are the people now at 57, I'm 57. Those are the people now that I really want to surround myself
That's
with.
That's right. That's so good. Hey, speaking of that, we're going to start a new series.
Okay.
The holidays are coming up.
They are.
It's the holiday season. And Santa Claus.
Listen, I think a series right now is important.
I do too.
Yeah.
So our series is The Gift Of. So it's The Gift Of, and we're gonna give you little gifts.
It's the gift of fill in the blank.
Yeah, it's The Gift Of. And today, it's The Gift Of attention.
Yeah, you like to underline that.
I know.
You underlined it in your notes.
Like, if one of us has notes, it's gonna be me. It's gonna be me.
It's so true.
So when this idea came from someone on Instagram. I'm not gonna lie. I don't remember who it is, or I would give them credit.
Okay.
But basically, one of their posts said something to the effect of, one of the best gifts you can give the people around you is the gift of attention. Can you think of a time when you have been with someone and you feel like they're not giving you their full attention? Or what's paint a picture for me for that?
Well, I would say the one thing that it's not one individual, it's just something I notice, is that if we're talking or we're out to eat or whatever, and we're talking and people pick up their phone to look at their phone and to answer somebody or whatever, and that does feel like we're not in an undivided attention situation.
Sure.
I'm not saying I haven't been guilty of that myself, but that's
you
when
have I mean, you've done it to me before.
Yeah. And that's when I can feel
and
like...
I've probably done it to you.
Well, and that's when I can feel like I don't have someone... we're not all in the conversation.
Sure.
Then, you know, and I'll wheel back to Joey's wedding. And I'm so glad I did this, and I can offer this as advice to anyone listening that has a function coming up. Let's even just say graduation. Graduation's not coming up, but like something like graduation.
I mean, we could even talk about the holidays. When you're with your family over the holidays.
I shut my phone off. Yeah. Like early in the day of the wedding day, I shut it off. I gave it to Kat. She put it in her purse and just had it for me. And because I thought, you know, we have a professional photographer.
Right.
And there's other people taking pictures. I don't need this distraction. And I felt like literally throughout the day, there were times that I was like, this has my undivided attention.
Totally.
I am not sharing my attention with anything else.
So tell me this, because you've been around a lot longer than I have. Prior to phones, what do you think took our attention? What would take our attention off of the person in front of us, or
maybe other people?
I was thinking, you know, there's probably always been something that's taken our attention.
Oh, the television was one.
Totally. I think anything can really take our attention away from anyone. That's, you know, when someone in front of us, you know, you think of the 70s and 80s stereotype of the person watching soap operas. I think that was probably one. I'm sure that at times.
The actual telephone.
Right. The actual phone, radios. And honestly, even good things can take our attention away from the real people in front of us.
Right.
I think that sometimes work can take attention away.
True. Yeah, true. Housework, very much so.
The desire to make your house look a certain way or look perfect. And I'm not talking about like just reject all work and just lay around with your kids. That's not what I'm saying. But I think sometimes there's an imbalance there. It doesn't, I think that because of where we are in technology and society, the phone is 100% the easiest culprit and probably, and probably the most distractible distraction.
Oh, for sure.
Distraction that we have literally in our pocket right now. But I think there are other things, but the phone's probably the easiest one to blame it on.
Yeah, for sure. I remember a story a lady told me. I got together with this friend of mine for lunch that I hadn't seen for years, and her husband works in finance. What's that viral TikTok? Finance 6-2.
I don't know that one.
Man in finance. Oh, our friend Kat would know it because we used to like send each other stuff.
I don't know that one. I just know 6-7. Do you know 6-7?
Oh, I've heard of it.
Oh, well, you don't work in a school.
It seems ridiculous to me.
Working in a school
it
right now.
It doesn't seem like it means
for
any
teachers. because 6-7.
That doesn't mean anything though, does it?
No. We could do a whole podcast about the origin of 6-7, but that's not our lane. That's not our genre.
So anyway, she was telling me that her husband works in finance and he used to always be able to do his job at his office, come home, have supper, and have the evening. When COVID happened and he started working remotely, she said it was so difficult.
Sure.
Because he couldn't separate home from work. So like at supper, he would come in with his headset on and grab his plate and go back into his office. And she said it just was so different.
Yeah.
Because before he had a separation of office and home. And she said it was just hard for him.
That's interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
That's really interesting.
So I'm like, I think sometimes with work, you know, to your point, when you reference work, I think sometimes people have a hard time separating work
100%.
From their family and home. They bring it all home. It's, you know, I would say when I go back into our life and to our past, when we had the inn and we had the restaurants, it was really about the only thing we talked about.
Right.
Like,
right.
I actually think now I barely talk. I don't talk about that kind of those kinds of things anymore at all. Cause we're not in that business anymore, but we talked about it all the time when we were in it. It's so strange to think about now.
Well, and to that end, I think if you're an entrepreneur, you own your own business, you're in a demanding job, I think the work could never be done.
Right.
You know,
right,
the work, right. you have to set the pace.
You're just in it.
That you're going to turn it off and you're going to turn it on. And I think that's the discipline and being an entrepreneur working for yourself.
Right.
You know, here's the message of what we're talking about is, you know, we talked last week and we're going to probably, I think this concept of what makes you feel rich is, you know, a gift that you can give to someone that is free, that doesn't take anything from you is giving them the gift of your attention.
True.
That the gift of attention is such a great gift that you can give someone.
Who do you know that's really good at that?
My mom.
Yeah, I was going to say her.
Is really good at that.
Really good at that.
But in everyone else's defense, my mom doesn't like her phone. She's not in the era of phone addiction.
And your mom is an empty nester too.
Right.
I mean, so, but at the same time, I think she was probably always like that.
She was.
Very, very, very in person facing, like, you know, 100%. When you're with your mom, you're with your mom. Also, someone who's good at that is Kat.
She's
a very good listener. Very good. Because listen, part of giving someone your attention is not just being with them. It's listening.
Totally.
It's listening. And I would say that Breakfast Club, I think that's part of the reason our Breakfast Club still meets, still gets together and has lasted as long as it has, is because when we get together, we are giving attention. We aren't.
We're giving
intentional conversation and intentional attention.
Yeah. Well, I think I did some research.
Oh, of course.
So I have notes, but here's what happens. I think when we put, And I'm not gonna keep talking about phones because there are so many things that can take our attention away other people. But I think when we really focus in on the people around us, we're communicating a couple things. So I think the first thing is we're communicating that the person matters. So what that means is your undivided attention is incredibly powerful to the other person's worth and their message and what they have to say to you, that you're listening, that you're intent on them. The next one is, I think it also says that I value the moment in that we're in right now.
Yeah, that's like, good.
There is nowhere else I'd rather be.
Yeah, that's good.
That I think sometimes, I guess I am going to go back to the phone. I think sometimes the phone, when we're, let's say, scrolling on Instagram, communicates, I'd rather be somewhere else right now.
Or,
that like, I'm going to not truly, not in the clinical sense, but I'm going to disassociate or remove myself from this present situation and go somewhere else in my phone.
But I also think there's an innocence too. I mean, my little bit of pushback with that.
We don't do pushback enough around here.
Is that sometimes when you're just with someone, you've talked about it all. It might just be fun to just sit and scroll for few minutes, right? But because you have had the intentional time. Sometimes I don't think.
I mean, I guess if I walked in your house and you said, "Hey, Matt," and you kept looking at your phone, that would really hurt my feelings. But once we've been through it.
Yeah, if we've spent the day together,
right?
I'll use myself as an example. So Molly Bolent, our friend Molly, when she's come to visit, we've had the whole day together, and then we'll say, let's just sit and scroll on our phones for a minute. And we get home like in the living room, and we're still together.
Sure.
And often we'll be like, oh my gosh, look at this, or oh my gosh, did you see this?
Sure.
And it is a way, it's a different way. It's kind of like having a third person in the room. It's a different way of interacting that I didn't have years ago, or we didn't have years ago. So I do think it can be handled in a way that doesn't feel dismissive.
I support that.
To it. But I also think there's something, like I go back to the wedding. I remember everything because I was not sidetracked or distracted by picking up my phone.
Right.
I mean, I didn't take my eyes off of Joey and Emma the whole time that they danced.
Right.
Or the whole time that he did his little dance.
He knew how to do it.
I was just zeroed in. Mm-hmm. And part of that was because I didn't have something to pick up and check.
Sure. So I think what happens too is when we do this, especially, I think it's so critical with kids as well. When we give them attention and positive attention and, you know, we shut off distractions and we're listening, research shows in child development shows that positive attention reinforces desired behaviors and it instills a sense of trust and security from the child to the adult. So I think it sends a message like, you can trust me.
Oh, right.
You're secure with me.
Right,
I'm going to listen to you and I've got your back. I also think when we are listening to people, when we're, oh my gosh, I have a story to tell podcast. Okay, I haven't told, but this reminds me of this.
Okay.
I got my first ticket in like 25 years. Oh. I was driving around Worcester.
Okay.
And
in our town.
And in an industrial part of Worcester where there's factories, there was a state highway patrolman hiding between the buildings.
While I drove
by, you know what I was doing? Wasn't scrolling, wasn't even texting. I had my phone lifted
music.
Up.
It was
clicking to a song I wanted to listen to. And sure enough, he got me. For looking at my phone.
Did you tell him, like, I was just looking at my music? I was just turning on a song.
No, there was no defending it. I was like,
you were caught. You were just caught.
Yeah. And you have to, well, so this is what happened. So I get pulled over and he was incredibly kind. What's really awkward is about a week later, I ran into him at school while I was working and I was like, hey, you pulled me over.
No.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Yes. I walked into an event at school and he was like...
Is he a parent?
No, okay. He was there for an event dressed in his blues, I guess you could call it.
So he was actually there.
And like, I had my badge on with my school color shirt and I'm like, hey, I work here and you pulled me over a week ago.
You're like, could you not tell the whole auditorium that...
So what happens in the state of Ohio is if your first offense for they call it distracted driving, you actually have to take a course online. It's a 90-minute course.
No.
You take the course, print it off, and fax it to your local police station. So that they would, this is kind, is it waives a fee. So whatever the court cost was, and it also, there were no points added to my license.
Yeah, and also teaches you a lesson.
So here's what it said, which makes me think of this, is in this course, it talks about how every little thing that we do in the car takes our attention off of driving. So everything from eating while you... Do you eat while you drive?
Yes.
When you eat, what eating while you drive is not good.
Can I get pulled over for that?
No, okay. No. But there are all these studies around every little thing that you do in the car. If there's a child talking to you in your car.
I'd love to have a little treat in the car.
Me too.
I'd like a little treat.
What's that
sweet treat? Sweet treat?
A little sweet treat.
A little sweet treat.
A sweet treat. I want a sweet treat. Everybody likes a sweet treat in the car.
This is so true.
But so eating in the car, changing songs in the car, you can't have your phone up by your face, whether there's a pet in the car. So you're taking this 90-minute course. Yes. And essentially what it's saying is everything that you do in the car besides drive is distracting you and taking your attention away. And there's so many statistics around all of it. And so it just reminds me of how when we're distracted by something else, when we're one-on-one or in a group of people, anything can take our attention away. Yeah. But when we give our attention, I lost my thought for a second. When we are giving our full attention. So here's what I'm trying to say. I'm having a hard time articulating this, but everything that we are doing in the car takes away our attention and it pulls attention away. So
from the driving.
Right. Similarly, when we're with people and maybe we're on a phone, we're distracted by kids. Even our own thoughts, our kids, the percentage of the attention that we're able to give to the person
diminishes. Yes.
And there is so much to be said, because I know there's somebody out here that's like, I can multitask, I can do it all, blah, blah, blah. I thought the same thing, but I got pulled over for it. When you are focused on the person, you know, communication, there's so much research around how communication is more than just the words that are coming out of our mouth.
Okay.
That there's so much nuance to our tone, to our eyebrows, to our eyes, to our body language, to everything that we're doing. And you might say to yourself, well, I can multitask and I can do this, but I promise you. And sometimes that's fine if it's functional conversation or just exchanging, you know, pleasantries of the day. But if someone wants your undivided attention and you're doing other things, you're going to miss the nuance.
Right, you're going to miss
the eyebrows. You're going to miss the tone when someone says, well, it was fine. And in your brain, you might be like, they said it was fine, but the tone wasn't fine.
Right.
Though everything that we're doing when we're not in active listening mode takes away from that connection and really takes away from the nuance of what we're trying to understand and experience with someone. And so I think when we put down the phone, when we put down the spatula, when we turn off the work computer, when we, you know what we do sometimes actually with our kids is we go one-on-one with our kids where we'll be like, there's too much going on. I want to focus on you.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll ask the other kids to leave. Couple weeks ago, I told Luca to get in the car because I wanted to talk to him by himself.
Oh.
I think that's going to be my new thing.
Are they scared of it?
No, not yet. Maybe he is now, but it was the first time. I've only done it once.
So how did that feel? Did it feel like you were giving your undivided attention in that conversation?
Do
you
100%.
Think he felt it too?
Well, here's the beauty of driving around in the car for a serious conversation is you ain't got nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go.
Right.
And it gives I feel like for the child in the car, maybe
It gives some room.
It gives them some space.
Yes, yes, yes.
We don't have to sit eye to eye, knee to knee.
It doesn't feel scary.
It doesn't have to feel confrontational.
Yeah, like there's nothing scarier than my mom and dad are saying, like, in the other room, you know, and you're sitting, like, at the table, like, like, you're getting ready to be interrogated, and it was scary. And, yeah, and also I think driving around, I think that's a good idea for a conversation because there are other things that you can be looking at that make – you feel less threatened as far as like, as far as feeling scared.
Sure. Especially because, for those serious or highly emotionally charged conversations.
We forget as adults how big adults feel to kids.
100%.
We forget it.
Totally. You know,
as an adult, I think it's always important to be like, remember what it was like when you were in fourth grade. Remember what it was like when you were in high school. Remember what it was like in ninth grade, right before you had your license. And, you know, if you put yourself back into those scenarios, I think it can help you be a better communicator with your kid because it's everything's so much more of a big deal when you're a kid, when you're in a serious conversation like that.
Totally. I think on the other end, when you're the listener, you know, when you put down your phone or you focus on whoever, I think you get things out of this too, because I think what it does is it allows you to step outside of yourself. You know, I'm reading that Anxious Generation book about social media and the world around us. I think sometimes when we're distracted by whatever's in front of our face, whether it's a phone, work, etc., we forget that we all have different perspectives. And I think it really kind of jars you in a positive way to say, oh, when I'm focused on this person, I'm listening to their experience and their lived experience. I can see things through their perspective. And I think giving full attention to that actually helps us and changes our brain because it helps us get outside of our little bubble of the world that we live in. And I think it's so good for our brain. There's something I wrote here. Where is that? There's something I wrote. It's called the helper's high. I think when we get out of our mindset and we're listening to others, we're maybe offering advice or getting perspective. First of all, it helps us get perspective on our own life.
It shifts it also shifts the attention
Absolutely.
Off of yourself.
Absolutely. And I also think it helps us with our satisfaction of the world around us. Like, oh my gosh, I was involved with helping this kid walk through this problem or talk to my kids about whatever.
The helper's high reminds me of this. And I've said it, if you've known me for any length of time, you've heard me say it. Giving and helping other people fills your heart with something that nothing else can.
100%.
And part of it is that you have taken attention and the shift off of yourself and you've put it toward a purpose of helping someone else, whether it's encouragement, whether it's financial, whether it's acts of service, like you have done something for someone else and that is supernatural.
100%.
I'll take that to the grave.
Absolutely.
When we do for others and when we have a helper's high, it's because it gives our heart a feeling that nothing else can.
At 100%. I also think when we're stressed and we have so much going on in our life, it's kind of when someone comes to us and wants to connect, it doesn't even have to be you helping them. But when someone wants to connect and say, oh, how's your flower garden going? What have you been cooking? It kind of snaps you back into reality where you're like, oh, I'm not just the one thing that's stressing me out right now. There's more to my life than
that. True.
And I think sometimes we lose those little connection when we're trying to do it all, when we're scrolling. You know, there's a lot of research around the scroll, the doom scroll. It's called doom scroll for a reason, because I think it traps us in maybe a comparison mindset or like Disney and I'm not mindset.
Well, also, I think that's funny. I also think it kind of perpetuates this. I'm trying to fill something with it within myself and I'm not finding it here, but I'm going to keep searching for it here.
Oh, and, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So here's some practical tips that I think we can do. The first thing is put away devices. You know, someone told me once when when I had a phone, or when I started using a phone, it was common practice to put it upside down on the table.
Yes.
Do you know that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And there are people that have challenged that it should go away. Keep it in a pocket, yeah. Keep mm-hmm. it in a purse, keep it in a bag. There. It's still a temptation. So that would be my first challenge is like, leave the phone away. Maybe leave it. If you're having lunch with someone, I know this can be really scary, but leave it in the car. Did you know there's a lot of anxiety about leaving your phone?
I'm sure. Because the first thing people will say to me when I tell them to
what about my kids?
When I tell them, like, I sleep better, it goes better if I plug my phone in another room. It's like, I need to be reached in case there was an emergency.
That's right.
Like, well, I used to say that. But now I say, my husband never touches his phone near his, he has it on the nightstand, but he never touches it. He plugs it in and that's it. They can get a hold of him.
Right.
You know, or plug it in a different room close enough and leave the ringer on that you're still going to hear it if it rings.
Right.
Like, I just don't think it's an argument that holds up with like, well, I need to be contacted in case of emergencies. Well, first of all, if your kids are not living at home anymore, then that means they're adults or near adult age that they can probably, you know, handle some things, and they can keep calling and you'll end up hearing the phone or, you know, I don't know. I just think that would be the argument that people would have about leaving their phone in the car.
Yeah.
Like, what if there's an emergency?
Sure. What if there is? Then guess what? You'll get to it.
I mean, I remember, now listen, this makes me feel really old, but I remember when we used to have to pull off the road and use a payphone.
I mean, right? There's a movement. This is not the podcast for this, but there is a movement of people my age and younger with little kids at home getting landlines because they're I am trapped in my cell phone. Mm-hmm. If my kid mm-hmm. wants to call a friend, they can come home and call their friend and sit in the kitchen just like I did.
Right.
And there's like a movement of landlines coming back. And that's interesting to me. Here's the next one. This actually reminds me of your Breakfast Club. And it reminds me of a meeting we had with our friend Sarah Reith this week, is the 15-minute rule. So it's committing to 15 minutes of uninterrupted one-on-one time mm-hmm. with someone mm-hmm. to connect.
Yeah,
to
but just Sarah talk. Only gave us 3 minutes.
Well, it reminded me of that. Because we had a meeting.
It was hard. I made you go first because I was like, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
Like 3-minute update. Like that is
Well, we had fast. To get to some work.
Yes.
We had a meeting with a friend, Sarah Reith, and we hadn't seen her in a group mm-hmm. for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, mm-hmm. okay, before we jump into the work that we're going to do,
we're going to set
we're
a timer.
Each going to get 3 minutes just to talk it's about so what's hard. Going on. But what if you did that?
Yeah.
You know, what if there was a moment, maybe you're with a group of friends where you're like, we're going to talk about mm-hmm. Leanne for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Then we're going to talk about Matt for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Or maybe for your kids, it's setting aside time. You know, we do the high-low buffalo around the dinner table, which is very similar. It's uninterrupted time. You know, we typically don't, I would say 95% of our time, we don't have a phone at the dinner table. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's a really good thing for our kids to see because we naturally connect when we don't have anything. And we're not a tablet TV eat kind of
people. Yeah.
That's just not our rhythm. The other thing is when you do connect with someone, it's non-judgmental listening. It's we listen and we don't judge. Yeah. You know, I think sometimes in our busyness, we are so quick to offer perspective and we're so quick to offer advice when oftentimes the conversations that we're having with the people in front of us, they may not be looking for that,
right.
You know? And so it's just committing to truly just listening. And then the last thing is committing to mindfulness and focusing on others. So what I mean by that is set goals with yourself. Maybe it's 15 minutes. Maybe it's putting a tablet or a phone away, but just to train your brain to focus on the person in front of you, or even if you're not even there yet, focus on a task for 15 minutes just to focus on one thing. Because I think when we get better at focusing on one thing or one person or a conversation, I think our outcomes in strength of relationships, our outcome in stress or overall satisfaction with life, I think those would get higher because we're not so pulled and distracted in every direction by everything and anything that's all around us. So I think those are some good habits for us to get into.
That's good.
Do you have any parting shots or any thoughts before we wrap this up?
I don't. I think that intentional time is what helps a relationship grow and become healthy.
100%.
And I think you should feel after every interaction with someone, my hope is that you feel like it's been something life-giving. Mm. And if you're in a relationship where you feel like every interaction is life-sucking or just exhausting, to really just have a close look at that and just monitor and ask yourself like how much of that space you want to give your life, because time is precious. Mm-hmm. And I just think that we should walk away from interactions with people feeling like we've just got a love shot, you know?
That's right.
So that's my parting shot.
That's so good. Okay. All right.
Let's talk about food. The charcuterie board at the live event is going to be sponsored by Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. Mm. We're going to have some cheese. We're going to have some crackers. We're going to have a little bit of savory.
Yeah.
And we are going to have some sweet. We're not going to tell you what the sweet is. But we will give you the hint of bring maple or don't come at all.
Right. And here's what I'll say too.
Okay.
If you know us, but at all, you know that we're going to know how to throw a party.
Yeah.
So we're going to give you a charcuterie experience that will shark all your coots that you've ever charcuted. Because if you've ever sharked or cooted, no. We're going to blow your minds with our charcuterie.
Terrible. But you know, the truth is that, you know, now, especially now, you're watching what you're spending.
Totally.
And groceries are expensive.
Totally.
And so if you want to put on a really nice charcuterie board, Walnut Creek Cheese and Market and Walnut Creek Foods, mm-hmm. they have wonderful products for that. When we do our shopping day for the live event weekend, we will go to Walnut Creek Cheese and
100%.
Market.
You know, Just Maggie was here this weekend, and Just Maggie was like, hey, while I'm here, you know what I haven't done yet? Is I want to join the Patreon.
She just did.
Just Maggie joined the Patreon this weekend.
I know.
And she, what was awesome about it was I said, okay, as soon as you join, the paywalls will open up and you can sign up for the free gifts from Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, which is the cost of joining Patreon, truthfully. So it's like you're at a zero loss at this point. So she signed up right away. If you join our Patreon, there is a post that I put up within the last month that's asking for your name, your mm-hmm. address, because mm-hmm. you're going to get two gifts mm-hmm. from Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. Mm-hmm. And also when you sign up for those, we ask, what are some of the things that you've tried or you would want to try from Walnut Creek Cheese that you love? And we ask for feedback on the podcast as well.
Okay. Yes.
But you know what Maggie wrote that I thought was interesting is those like chocolate chip cookie dough cheese balls that are so good.
Yes.
I think about coming up to the holidays and I think having like a ball, like a cheese ball or like a dessert cheese ball mm-hmm. on hand is so good.
So good.
And they have those little graham crackers that go with it.
Delicious.
And it is so good.
Yeah, so good.
If you haven't joined our Patreon, we would love for you to join us. Here at the end of November, we're closing the free gifts from Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, and they're going to send them out.
We want to get our Patreon people their gifts.
That's right.
I want people to have it over the holidays.
That's right.
Who doesn't love the world's best dishcloth?
I mean,
dish rag,
I don't know.
And a scrubby. I love a good scrubby.
Same. If there's anything that you know what I always say, give me scrubbies or don't come at all.
I love a good scrubby.
Hey, well, thank you so much for joining us in this conversation all about the gift of attention. Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.